You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Some people click this podcast and it says, like, more on Spencer Ware to injured reserve, which isn't official yet, but whatever, and breaking down the Chiefs trade. And like, all right, hell yeah, Chiefs trade.
With Joshua Briscoe.
And they clicked it, and we're 10 minutes in, and I'm about to explain the story of this pineapple hat that I'm wearing.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Run.
All right, I think we're either about to make a bunch of people really happy or disappoint literally dozens of people all at the same time. I'm pretty adept at the latter. The question is, can the Amateur Hour podcast, can you guys please a nation?
Well, we have like 7 years of experience of disappointing people.
That's so really good. I have 23 years of disappointing people, okay. Starting with my parents all the way now to actually still my parents. So it's mainly still two people. I've disappointed mostly just that. Have you guys been doing the show for 7 years?
This will be season seven. This
wow.
Will be.
I guess I should introduce Ryan Scott Hall and his Dirkness. By the way, speaking of parents, your parents gave you a tough run by naming you his Dirkness. And I will not. You brought in a birth certificate that you showed me earlier, and it says it. And I don't know why your parents decided to go that route, but it gave you a good Twitter handle, I guess.
Yeah, it's brought me this far, so who can complain about that? Brought me this beautiful radio program.
Right, and it is beautiful. I feel like today especially, you've got like this tie-dye Led Zeppelin shirt that is perfectly sliding into the aesthetic of everything we're doing here. And you've got, is this Barcelona?
Yeah, I
got it in one. That's pretty good.
You did.
I feel pretty good about that. So we're going to just do an hour of World Cup talk, if that's cool with you guys. We're just
going to
break it down. I think Iran did something today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they participated. I don't want to tell. We were in the elevator coming up, and
Dirk was like, stairs. Good.
Dirk was like, please don't. You wore that jersey. He's like, now inevitably I'm going to know what happened. I didn't watch any of these games. You're going to ruin my DVR watching for later.
Well, I love the World Cup, but all the games happen at 9 a.m. I do not love 9 a.m., so I watch all the games in the evening usually.
Okay, I didn't know we were actually spoiler alert territory for the World Cup. Very good. Well, okay, we could switch from... I was thinking we'd do a solid first segment of World Cup, second segment just like the discography of Led Zeppelin, and then we'll have 5 or 6 minutes at the end to talk about like how good Patrick Mahomes is going to be. That was my plan coming into this before I even saw what you guys were wearing. It like we were perfectly synced up. I don't know. Again, see, this is why I feel like we're going to just disappoint a lot of people, because like, oh, here's this collision of these Chiefs shows that I listen to, and then I think if we could avoid talking Chiefs for the full hour, it would be hugely disappointing for everyone, and also like performance art. And so I'm really tempted to try to feel that out. I want to talk about you guys first for a second, because it's June and like we can only talk about Laurent Duvernay Tardif's jersey for so long. Like FS1 only stretched it into like 5 minutes, and all they do is take 30-second topics and take them out to an hour. But we'll talk about various Chiefs things for a second, but you're going into season 7 now of the Amateur Hour podcast. You can listen to the website is
ChiefsPodcast.com.
Are you going to, if I don't direct a question to a specific person,
we're just going to sit here in silence.
And, or are you going to, so far you've picked up two in a row.
I'm the alpha dog here.
Well, that's really strange. Why, Ryan, why will you not pee on your territory?
What? I mean, I feel like we're pretty equal. I don't know why Dirk wants to call himself the alpha dog.
Yeah,
I mean, that's fine. I'll defer to him.
That's why he's the alpha dog.
I'm probably non-combatant.
I think we're both pretty non-combatant. that's why we're still...
All right, follow-up question. How have you done 7 seasons of a podcast being 2 non-combatant people? I only watch First Take, and for me, my only way of consuming sports talk is with 2 alpha dogs screaming at each other. That's why you guys are so confusing to me.
We just agree on everything. That's the whole premise of the show. Like,
good.
Let's just talk about things that we agree with, and everyone will have a good time.
We actually tried a couple years ago. We were like, I had been listening to Pardon My Take a lot, and so I was like, okay, we got to do some segments.
Yeah.
And a friend of ours had told us, like, here's the problem with your show. You guys agree on everything.
Right.
There's no arguing. So we wanted to do a segment called Oklahoma Drill.
It's a good name
and we
for
were
a
like,
segment.
Yeah, let's disagree on something. And we had such a hard time coming up with things that we didn't agree on.
Well, with most of our great ideas, we just don't follow through. We come up with the great ideas, but then never really take them anywhere.
Right, so you either lose the initiative or you find yourself to be literally incapable of doing it.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. I identify with that.
Stand and applaud the great idea. We pat ourselves on the back like, well, job's done here.
Today's segment is talking about all the great segment ideas that we've had and never done anything with, and then somehow that segment also, I guess, would have to fail. I like the idea a lot, though. Why do you find yourselves agreeing on so many things? Like, do you have generally, like, similar perspectives on, like, life and football, or do you just find yourself... Because the answer to that question seemed to be no, based off the look you just shot at each other.
I mean, I think... So, let's put it this way. I think that how the show has evolved, and really, like, the corner of the internet that we've carved out, is two guys that really, for the most part, would have these conversations anyways.
Sure.
And so we just happen to be recording them. And I don't think that it's necessarily that we're just like in unison. We're always in agreement. Mm-hmm. I think it's more that we tend to feed off of each other and the show just becomes like one long rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can get from, you know, point A to, you know, to Z in the hour and 15 minutes that we normally do the podcast. But I think that we come in without like fully formed ideas, except for maybe one a piece.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately we can arrive at different things by almost like doing verbal processing together.
And I like that a lot because that's what this ends up usually being. I think that's why I like radio and podcasting, like the long form nature of it. Because if you like Around the Horn is on in here very often during the show and I watch it and like, I think that there's something admirable about media in that way where you're throwing out a topic and then four people give you 30 seconds apiece on whatever, Jameis Winston. But at the end, I don't feel like I've experienced much. I've just heard other people say things like at me, and the kind of conversational nature of your guys' show, I think I love that it exists in that way because that tends to be something I think that's an underserved market as far as sports talk media. And so I'm glad that you guys have it that way. And that's what I find myself doing very often. The problem here is that instead of having someone who is non-combatant but similar, I have Beards who will just sit there and just literally with his hand over his mouth, and I have to do all of it myself.
I think that for the two of us, where we've been really fortunate is honestly just in like the generosity of other people.
Mm.
You know, we don't have to worry about when we try to have somebody on, we don't have to worry about only getting them for like 10 minutes.
Right.
So if we're lucky enough to have, you know, any sort of local media type, they usually will come on and they'll sit there with us. And most, you know, a lot of times we have guys in person, but even if it's on the phone, like they'll stay for an hour.
Right.
So we can let that conversation still just kind of devolve the way that it wants to, which is been a real blessing over the course of the show.
Yeah, that's a good call. I like that. And that's something that we've experienced a little bit with, especially with Seth Kaiser now with The Athletic, where we've had him. He comes on weekly now. And there was an episode a while ago where he just explained how he met his wife for 20 minutes and then how it was on a double date, chaperoned and alongside his parents who like drove him to the date and everything like that. And I just being able to get to those kind of stories with people that otherwise, you know, are just a guy who does a film review or whatever, I think is really valuable.
Is that how they date in Minnesota?
I don't know if that's a normal Minnesotan thing or if Seth is just that dude.
Or
like,
just blog life.
Maybe it's blog life. I don't know. The double date with your parents thing, like that, I've never fully let go of the disbelief there because I feel like the next step is that you like offer her family a goat as dowry and like, like, hello, sir. I'd like to legally own your wife. Can I do that? And like, no, it's, we're in America, and it's, I guess then it would have been, you know, in 2002 or whatever. What are you talking about? Why are you giving me this goat? I don't need a goat for any reason. But I also imagine that maybe that's how Seth knew that he had like picked the right family. Maybe they just took the goat. Do you have any goat based stories?
I don't. I will tell you though. I think about the capacity that Seth has to be able to like fit the Chiefs into everything else
that
he does.
It's insane.
And like, he needs to write a book before he dies. And it could just be like shameless self-promotion.
If he tries to write a book, he's going to die.
Is he dying soon?
Also, a good question. Is Seth dying soon?
I mean, he's burning the candle at
both ends.
Hey,
Ryan's plugged in. He's got sources.
That's true. We're hearing rumors of Seth's declining health. We'll talk to Seth tomorrow.
Thoughts
and
prayers
him.
To Seth.
Absolutely. 100%. Seth, we're here for you. If you need to abandon any of these pieces of your life so you can in fact write a book, why would you wish that on him?
No.
Ryan.
All right, that's fine. I'll just get ganged up on. I'm in the corner already.
You guys want to switch seats every segment? Just like I don't want you to feel cornered in. I don't want you to feel like this is a hostile work environment.
I actually feel very comfortable.
Good. That's good.
Yeah.
I think that means good things, unless at some point you just like fall asleep. And I think I would feel good about the environment we'd created here. And then I guess I would just talk about, I guess I'd make, go back to making fun of FS1, which is what the show was today before you guys got here.
Oh, we listened.
We'll continue. Oh, yeah. Good. Very good. Well, I hope you heard all of the glowing things I said about you, and definitely no bad things.
Mm-hmm.
Beard, did I say any bad things about them?
I think I marked them.
Okay, good. We'll have those clips back later. So I imagine that most people listening to this have some understanding of you guys already in the podcast and the nature of it and everything. Do you guys talk about, you said the show is like a conversation between you guys that you would be having anyway, and it goes down the rabbit holes and everything. Do you guys talk about non-Chiefs things like in private, like off of microphones? Like, do you have a functioning relationship outside of Chiefs things, or are you guys just being held together by the medium at this point? You just can't break up the band.
No.
I don't know what you're saying.
Oh, we do. I was saying no, we never talk.
Well, it's the off season.
We do get kind of sick of each other. Like, February is our off month from each other. Only February this year, there was lots of Chiefs news that came out, so we kept having to see each other.
And that had to be terrible. That must have been heart-wrenching. It was awful. How are you surviving June, I guess? That's the question I really want to ask. How are you surviving June?
I mean, I'm loving every minute of the World Cup, but I know this only happens every 4 years.
Right.
I mean, normally, I think much like, I guess, you know, the team, it's kind of this kind of break time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like second break, because normally...
We also get a nice break in late January, usually. Yeah.
Exactly,
yeah.
Yes. But if the World Cup weren't going on, then it would be like one day a week for about 2 hours. I watch Sporting play a soccer game.
Mm-hmm.
And aside from that, I probably like don't even get on social media. I just stay away from it.
That's probably healthy.
I don't want to look, because I don't care about baseball. Like,
right.
I mean, I guess that's what's happening right now.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, arguably, you can technically, yes, technically baseball is happening.
Man,
but
life comes at you fast.
City.
Like
it
does. 2 years ago, they're winning the World Series.
Don't even.
I knew we'd have anti-royal stakes.
No,
when we came on here.
No, we have to speak in code. We can only talk about the royal wedding. We have to hedge our bets in a way that I don't even want anyone to worry about it. I want to keep that evil out of their mind. Dirk, how are you surviving June? Are you also love the World Cup? You DVR'd the World Cup.
I love the World Cup.
Are you just sleeping a lot more? Like, avoiding those 8 a.m. kickoffs?
I mean, I sleep and I work and I watch soccer and just hang out.
That's fine. I guess I envy you guys in your really flexible schedule, your self-publishing flexible schedule that you
Well,
have.
I just quit my job, actually. I guess that's what
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. What a great statement to just say over and over to people. Like, hey, I quit my job.
That could be good. I'm guessing that if you quit your job, you are like, you're a little bit glad about it, right?
Yeah.
So that's good.
And I love the job, and I'm still glad about it.
What are you doing now? Is there going to be a Dirk Media Network that I don't know about?
Oh, yeah. It's already going on.
Do I have competition? Are you going to sign an exclusive rights deal with some other radio station and we can never talk again?
FS1 Kansas City. Get on board.
Beards, don't you, delete that from the podcast. Don't let what I just said go out over anywhere.
Dumb button doesn't work that way.
No! Oh, yeah, also, please don't curse, because our dumb button doesn't really work.
Oh. No. We never do that.
No, I was listening to you guys' last episode while driving in today, and I got about 10 seconds in before there was a naughty word. I was like, oh, man, I've got to remind them that we have a 3-second delay that occasionally works.
It's just a word.
They're not going to, the SWAT team isn't going to swing in and
nobody's listening.
Bust out the windows.
No one's listening live.
And on a podcast, podcasting is the wild, wild west. And Facebook Live, you can do whatever. You can, I don't know, what could we do on Facebook? Beard's eyes just got enormous. I'm glad I didn't finish that sentence either. No, you're right. That was good. We'll avoid what we could do on Facebook Live, I guess. All right, so do we just talk about Patrick Mahomes for like 45 minutes then? Because like that's something I'm always in the mood to do. Is that like your favorite thing right now?
So I have a little idea that it centers around Patrick Mahomes.
Most of my ideas do at this point.
So let's try to play with this a little bit.
All right, let's do it.
The Chiefs over the last tenure of Andy Reid. It's a great way to put that.
Yeah. It was perfect. You're worse, man.
During Andy Reid's tenure, it seems like most seasons.
I do want to know why you go by three names. I just remember that I had that question. Keep talking. Don't answer that yet. That's three. I'm ready. Three names? Really? Question mark? That's the question. We'll get to that.
I mean, I can answer it. It's real quick.
You have three names, and Dirk has one.
Yeah, but he's got three syllables, and I felt like I needed to match it. His but Dirkness. And I know that Ryan.
Ryan. I don't know. Ryan? Like Ryan Sandberg?
It's not Ryan, it's Ryan.
Okay. Is that actually the answer? You just want to have the same number of syllables? Because you did.
It's a pretty bad answer, but it's an answer.
That's why I thought.
All right. I actually was wondering about that, and I remember that I'd forgotten. Okay.
I think it's because he loves the wrestler Scott Hall. That's what I always thought. And he wanted me to be Kevin Nash, right?
Well, who's Kevin Nash? Is Kevin Nash, right?
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. Then.
Yeah.
Okay.
It just feels really unnecessary to have three names.
That's fine. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm stuck to it now. I mean,
no, you're right. It's definitely your brand.
I've been committed.
If I found out that Dirk had a last name, I would not. I would short circuit.
It's Miss.
What was your thought exercise you wanted to do?
Basically, every season since Andy Reid has been the coach, it seems like an injury has been what has derailed the Chiefs in the playoffs.
Right.
Right. Or a collection of them in Indianapolis.
Thank you for coming in and making me think about that game again. I really appreciate it.
Well, at least when I look at the offense now, I know that they're, of course, as people pick this apart, it's not going to work. But
well, that's good. Thanks for giving us the end result first.
Is the Chiefs offense outside of Mahomes, are they somewhat injury proof right now?
I think that's something that became obviously like arguable when they signed Sammy Watkins, because you went from having, you know, being an injury away from DeMarcus Robinson to being an injury away from Chris Conley, who's already going to be a part of the offense anyway. So like, I think that's kind of fun. But if Travis Kelce gets hurt, then I mean, they're still definitely bleeped. What do you want, Beards?
I can see that, but at the same time, like, your field is still balanced because you have both receivers and you still have Kareem Hunt.
Right.
Like,
that's true.
I think
you got
Demetrius
Harris. Don't.
I mean,
don't forget.
I'm just thinking in terms of the way that they have it right now. They obviously have like a wealth of weapons, but when you added Watkins, I think it changed them in such a way that if one of those guys goes down, I'm not worried, and it doesn't matter which one. And some of that has to do with them signing 14 running backs this offseason too. But it's just like, I don't think as far as any of the skill positions outside of Mahomes, if one of those guys goes down, I think the offense is still just going to be able to hum along, which is great.
I look at Mitchell Schwartz as being the biggest injury problem if he were to go down.
Wow, that was so loud. No, it's not even your fault. This microphone, the microphone that Ryan's been on, has been weird for the last like, couple of weeks, and he just threw a shoulder into it, and it sounded like there was a tornado in the building.
I think he was getting upset about my Mitchell Schwartz.
He's like, oh, Mitchell Schwartz!
Don't even suggest that.
Who needs him?
Big yeah, but, Eric Fisher fan.
But I love Cam Irving a lot. I hope Mitchell Schwartz gets hurt so we can see Cam Irving for 16 games.
Oh, yeah?
I don't mean that.
Oh. Well, yeah, that's the thing with him being the top backup and probably be the guy that would step into that role. I look at the offensive line being maybe with the least depth being the biggest injury concern. I thought that last year too, and luckily they stayed healthy for all 16 games.
I mean, unless you count Mitch Morris going down, and you know you had
Fulton, well, the tackles specifically, I guess,
right,
the tackles.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not as worried about the interior offensive line as a handful of people, and I don't know exactly where you guys stand. Like, how terrified you are of 16 games of Parker Anger, or maybe less than 16 games because he gets hurt or whatever, but with all of the things that Mahomes is really good at outside of just being able to throw the ball at like 85 yards, which by the way, how many tries do you think it would take you to throw the ball 85 yards? Not like in one throw, but like you get consecutive tries, you throw the ball and then you go land wherever the ball landed and throw again. How many times do you think you would need to do that before you could throw a football 85 yards?
I think I could get there in three, but I'd have a pretty sore shoulder.
I really want to be able to say two, but it's got to be three plus. It's like three's got to be the minimum.
I think that's where I'm at. I'm at like the three and a half is where my over under would be, because if I had three like of my best throws, I think I can cover 85 and three. But if I have one that like wobbles out of my hand, then like all of a sudden that one went backwards, and now I need five.
And do we get? I mean, it depends at what stage of our recovery on the Andrew Luck scale.
That's
we are
true.
Because what size football are we throwing?
We're throwing one of those Nerf ones with the big tail on the
back.
Yeah,
the throw-a-ton.
Yeah, the what?
Throw-a-ton?
Is that what it was called?
No, that's another football.
You might be right. I'm not telling you you're wrong.
There's a throw-a-ton.
Throw-a-ton?
Throw-a-ton.
Like throw-a-ton?
It's like kind of like a rubber football. This is like for my when I was a real small kid. I was thinking of the North football with the tail. What is that?
I can't think of the name.
What's the throw-a-ton? What?
You see it?
T-O-N?
Yeah.
No! Google doesn't even know what you're talking about. Like, do you mean throw stone? No, I don't. I don't mean throw stone.
Maybe I made this up.
I'm seeing a frisbee currently, like the frisbee with like the hole in the middle, but this isn't.
I know the football, like the one that has like the elongated tail on it.
Right.
And I know, like, I remember the whistling one.
I'm Googling now Nerf football with the tail and seeing if that has a name.
Throw a tong.
We were saying tong? Like the thing that you use to, like, move salad?
He's just making it up.
Okay, there are less letters in there than the one that you said. That says.
That's a knockoff.
It's not. Vortex Mega Flight is the one that John Elway is holding in here, the Nerf one with the tail on it.
Some people that were alive in the 90s will know what the throw-a-ton is. Somebody out there has to know.
Spell it. It was on your phone.
Well, I thought it was throw and then A-T-O-N.
It's not all of those letters. There are way fewer letters that would make Googling it much easier. What of that? What? I also have no idea what this. I've never seen this before. It looked like a dog toy. It looks like a dog toy, but you just, like, you put peanut butter in the middle, and then just, like, you don't have to worry about your dog for 6 months.
Man, I wish there was peanut butter in the middle. That'd be the best.
That would have been much
the best
athletic.
Toy of my life.
I can just imagine little Dirk with the peanut butter football.
Throw-ton? It's T-H-R-O-T-O-N, and it's, like, hollow.
Yeah.
This, you could throw this?
Oh, yeah.
Could you throw that 85 yards, you think?
Yeah, easily.
Easily?
Easily.
Easily?
Yeah.
I don't think I could throw an active missile 85 yards easily. All right, I don't buy it.
Is there anything you can throw 85 yards?
I think what I'm thinking now is that I don't think there's anything I can throw 85 yards. 85 yards is a long way. It's almost a whole football field, in case you didn't know. A football field's 100 yards long.
Oh, yeah.
See, I know. That really helps the thought exercise.
Wow.
If you think, oh, how far could Patrick Mahomes throw a football? 85 yards. Wow, that's like from the 20 to the end zone. That's pretty good. I wonder if that's ever going to be applicable.
It's almost like that.
I wonder if that's ever going to be applicable for him in his football career.
I know that story came out at like the beginning of June, and so we weren't in full June yet, but I did see people saying that the Chiefs might be able to start, you know, embracing the Hail Mary at a completely different part of the field than
yes.
they used to. And I was like, man, that's a pretty serious take.
Yeah.
Way to go.
That was my, like, Madden 2007 strategy, which is like Hail Mary every time. And it would work often enough. You just have to time it all right, have a quarterback with a big arm, just have everybody just run in verts the whole way down. And you know, sometimes it works. We could see that in real life now for the team that we root for. This is my childhood dream.
You basically just eliminated the last 2 or 3 months of work for Kent Swanson. You just like said, sorry, Kent, if you stick to the draft, that's cool. But
don't worry about building an offense.
None of the building an offense.
I have one play for you, and it's the only thing you need. And the Chiefs are going to score 45 points every game. Do we have a panic scale? Oh, we should do. Or we need to take a break, because that's the thing we have to do. We have to take commercial breaks, which we got to pay for all these really loud microphones, apparently. But we're going to do that whenever we come back. Unless you're listening in a podcast form, in which case, you know, thanks for not paying our bills, I guess. Hater.
Wait, people pay you?
No, not me. The company. I just want to make sure all my bosses get paid. That's what I'm here for. I'm a team player. I steal ramen one pack at a time from Walmart, and they've actually, they usually catch me and they just let me go now because it's so sad. They're like, oh man, like that's 20 cents, dude. Like, just take it. So that's how I've stayed alive, by the kindness of the Walmart greeter lady. In the fact also that she's partially blind in one eye, because I if I time it out well enough, I might be able to get a whole palette. But it takes a lot of skill. Whenever we come back, I want to fight with you guys about David Amerson in the cornerback position.
Okay.
Because I'm mad at both of you for enabling this ignorance that we have in this community now, thinking that somehow this is not going to be a problem in a few months, that we're all going to have to really realize that we're dealing with. Whenever Blake Bortles throws 4 touchdowns, I'm calling both of you guys first. We'll talk about that next with Ryan Scott Hall with 3 names for some reason, his darkness with not even one real name. I'm Josh Briscoe. You're listening to Almost Entirely Amateur Hour? Sure, why not?
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Mahomes on the range, where they allow some deep plays.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Where seldom is heard a failed third down conversion. And Albert Wilson never sees the light of day.
On ESPN Kansas City.
I have a second verse of that also. It's like an alternate chorus. It's I'm ready for someone to discover my true talent, which is Patrick Mahomes-based songwriting. I have a whole notebook. It's a Moleskine notebook just filled cover to cover. Welcome back into Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City. And really now, Almost Entirely Amateur Hour. Why do you guys name your show something that some of us have a hard time spelling the first word of?
It just made sense, I think.
The pros can't handle it.
Yeah, okay. I guess that's
Wait, are you? You're a pro, right?
Beards, can you put that? Can you sweep a poll question?
We're like college athletes.
That's extremely good. We're doing the work of professionals. Amateur. We're doing the work of professionals. Well, not but being paid in scholarships. I think that's actually, yeah, wow, Beards, good call. Yeah, that's extremely good. All of our payment is illegal, actually. It's all like a bunch of under the table, like $100 handshakes, $10 handshakes.
You're getting hundreds?
I change to tens. that's actually the discrepancy. That side of the glass is getting rolls of dimes. How much is a roll of dimes worth, though?
$5.
Is it $5? All right. Wow, you knew that. We both knew that right away.
Retail.
Okay. Oh, good call. All right. That's good. What's the worst job you've ever worked? Is it your current job? Because if that's the case, then
definitely not.
Okay.
I worked collections right after I got out of high school. So I worked in like, you know, long stacks of cubicles of human beings, just like cold calling. People that had not paid their Capital One credit card bill.
Wow.
And man, it was horrible.
I worked a summer being a waiter at TGI Fridays.
That doesn't sound very fun. Did you ever back? We're gonna go back and forth, Ryan. Did you ever have to like go to anyone's door?
No.
Okay.
Just well, I mean, I've
just this muscle.
I think I've put flyers places. You know, I've done that.
Why was
but
it?
But not like to. I didn't like knock on anybody's door.
That's,
I've never had to do that.
That's
no,
good.
No magazine sales or even like as a kid, no candy bars. My Boy Scout troop wants to do this. No, huh?
I literally just today was looking at an offer that I hey, would you like to come interview and see if you want to maybe do this job on the side? Like, oh, maybe that amount of money you're paying per hour is good. And then I Googled it. It's like, Oh, this is a pyramid scheme. Well, I guess I'll pass. I don't want to be making those phone calls, but also like an hourly pay was pretty good on this.
How old are you, Josh?
I'm 23.
Oh yeah, so you've got plenty of bad jobs in your future. Like, I mean, that's like the perfect time to take those kind of jobs.
Yeah, well, so that's the thing. Like I think at this point it's mostly denial. Like I want to believe that this is my real job. Like I feel better about like treating this as if it's a full time job, even though you know that also has me living in a cardboard box underneath a bridge, and so that's
nice box.
It is a pretty nice box. I've gotten duct tape enough rolls of duct tape that I've basically waterproofed it, which is pretty good, and so that's helpful. The bridge is crowded, and it's, you know, I can't complain. I do complain constantly, literally nonstop. Do you guys want to fight about David Amerson?
Yeah, sort of. So I read this story a couple weeks ago that Blair Kirchhoff wrote, and he had this quote from Bob Sutton that I thought you were just going to be like, and it says, "I think we're capable there. We're going to be fine." Him talking about the cornerbacks, and I'm just like, "Oh, we're going to be fine." Thanks, Bob. It's really, really inspiring stuff from our senior citizen defensive coordinator.
"We're going to be fine" really hurts me. Honestly, I would take "fine" right now. Like, if you could just give me that whole unit was going to be fine, I'd be pretty happy about it, I think. I'm not nearly that optimistic at this point. I just feel like there's a disaster waiting. As much as you talk, like you said, like the offense feels a little injury proof right now. I could not possibly feel like any unit on the planet is less injury proof than Kendall Fuller gets hurt, and now Stephen Nelson's your number one corner, and David Amerson's your number two. The good news is they have 100,000 slot players, so that's exciting. Like, there are just 15 guys who can play the slot, and maybe none that can play outside. Go ahead. Just you guys are just pointing at each other.
I'm just pointing at him because I saw him just.
Slot corner is my favorite position out there. If I were making a defense, I'd just have 11 slot corners out there.
Are you actually the? I saw the picture in that you guys talking about you meeting Brett Veach.
He loves slot corners almost as much as I do.
I feel like the universe had a moment where finally the magnets had pulled together, where the two people with the strongest love of slot corners on the planet finally touched, and then I was afraid that you would just birth another. Dorian O'Daniel. Yeah.
Another slot corner.
Well, I actually rushed the stage and they had security escort me out pretty quickly. It was awesome.
That's good. Okay, give me your slot corner thing. Talk about slot corners.
Well, people just...
I don't ask real questions.
People think of slot corners as your third best corner. Like, you just throw your worst corner there. When in actuality, it's the hardest corner position to play because you can't use the sideline as the boundary. Mm-hmm. So I'm always impressed by corners that can slide inside. Like Chris Harris for the Broncos. Mm-hmm. Is not generally considered one of the top five best corners. Like, he's respected and stuff, but I think he might be the best because he always travels into the slot. It's just a harder position to play, so I have more respect for it. And it gets such a bad rap because nickel corner and third corner and slot corner are all kind of synonymous when that isn't actually the case.
But go ahead.
If Chris Harris,
so weird. There are three people here.
If Chris Harris,
Ryan's our slot corner over here.
It's well played. If he would channel his inner Casey Hayward and start touting his own Pro Football Focus stats, then Chris Harris would know that he's probably been the top corner in the league for three straight years.
And the slot corner, the myth of what a slot corner is, I think, is an appropriate crusade to go on, because you're totally right. And what I think is really interesting about what the Chiefs just did is legitimately after, I can't remember where everyone was in each round, but I think basically from Dorian O'Daniel on, all the way until Khalil McKenzie, one of the things they said on the broadcast is, "You've seen this guy play some slot in college," and I find that funny, but also totally reasonable because they're all so different. Like, we're gonna see Dorian O'Daniel playing in the slot at some point whenever a tight end bumps out there and you need someone who can keep up with the bigger physical guy. As much as you'll see the total opposite for maybe, I don't know, Armani Watts or whatever, these guys that can play different positions in different ways and everything. I think for me, I had a specific moment whenever I was like, "Oh yeah. Covering the slot is super important." It was when Eric Berry just shut down Rob Gronkowski for the majority of an entire NFL football game, and that is how good Eric Berry is, and also how important that position is. So I'm with you on that, and I feel good about Kendall Fuller in general, and also especially him moving into the slot whenever they go into a nickel of some sort or any sort of sub package. That doesn't make me feel any better. And also, Stephen Nelson, I think the best we've seen from Stephen Nelson was while he was in the slot. I don't feel better about the outside guys.
Let me ask you this.
Do it.
So last year, and probably for the last two or three years, we've been pretty upset at the lack of movement as far as Marcus Peters was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Other teams found it very easy to just say, "Okay, well, we're going to put our third receiver over there," and then Marcus Peters is essentially neutralized. With the flexibility that Fuller gives you, and what I think most people will consider a clear number one above the other corners, do we think, what's the likelihood that he trails guys?
That's interesting.
Is Kendall Fuller going to move around the defense?
Well, I think it's funny because with Marcus Peters, I think even a little bit this season we've heard this at some point from Bob Sutton. I can't put my finger on it. I don't have a quote up right now, so take my word for it or don't, I guess. But we've heard them talk about, like, how nice it is for guys to be able to just, like, have their own position. And then also at the same time talk about moving Justin Houston around. It's like, oh, yes, finally. I don't know if they're going to ask Kendall Fuller to just trail guys everywhere. It would make a lot of sense, and that sort of feels like the movement of the future where you have these guys that are playing, we talk about, like, positionless basketball a lot, where you're kind of playing a more positionless football on both sides, really, because they're going to have, offensively, 1,000 guys that can play 1,000 positions. I would be okay with that. I don't know if I can expect that because I still don't know what Bob Sutton is. Like, I still don't know what his goal is as a defensive coordinator. I would be really open to that idea. I don't know if Bob Sutton is.
Do we, like, so when Bob Sutton came here as this Rex Ryan disciple, and I think very well respected, he had, like, coached at Army or something like that.
I don't know that to be true, but I believe that in my heart of hearts, that he absolutely coached at Army.
He was the head coach at Army, I believe.
Yeah, that's
his only head coaching job.
So, but that Rex Ryan scheme, you know, they always, it was so much about disguising your blitzes and creativity, right? Are we sure Bob Sutton's creative? Like, I feel like their defense at times, I guess maybe they've evolved over the 5 years or so that he's been the defensive coordinator, but, like, I don't think they're creative at all.
I think most people would say they're sure he isn't creative.
Right. Yeah. And so it's that's where I think that, like, number one, that means that you look at Andy Reid and the way that he's evolved, even just in the time that he's been here.
Yes.
And Bob Sutton doesn't seem to fit with that. But I guess it's also just like I've loved what they've done personnel-wise defensively this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they have all these guys that can play all these different positions. Like you said, you know, whether it's 11 slot corners or what. It's just I think that they probably have a minimum of like 18 guys that can contribute and probably will contribute when
yeah,
you're only
you're
starting 11.
Right.
They have a bunch of other players that are going to see the field.
Yeah, for sure.
And I love that because of that, where you don't know if Dorian O'Daniel is going to be technically a safety or technically a linebacker, even when he's on the field, that you can sort of disguise what you're doing.
Right.
But I don't know if I trust Bob Sutton to do anything with the kind of flexibility that he has with his personnel.
I think that's a fair thing to worry about. The one place where I would find myself defending Bob Sutton, which is not something I've made a whole lot of effort to do recently, is that I think he's good at being creative to cover your biggest weakness. I think that's something we've seen from him a lot, where you figure out a way to rush the passer if you're not very confident in your secondary. If you have more confidence in your secondary, you try to disguise the fact that you don't have a very good, like, natural pass rush. I've seen him do that in small bites, but certainly not in the way that you think of a defensive coordinator being, like, actively aggressive and creative and interesting in that way and throwing things at offense they haven't seen before. I don't know if I can think of a single game where Bob Sutton has done that very well. My hope is that this was, and I don't know, this is kind of a backwards way of thinking. My hope is that Brett Veach spent this offseason upgrading the defensive personnel to give to Bob Sutton in a way that he knows Bob Sutton is going to use it well, or like trying to lock down a few things so Sutton can focus on being creative with the pass rush or whatever. It feels kind of backwards. I feel like if you gave this exact personnel group to Rex Ryan, actual Rex Ryan, instead of one of his, you know, disciples or whatever, older. Beers, looked this up. Were any of Jesus' disciples older than Jesus? This is important to me. Can you be a disciple while being older than the person that you're following? This is now an open question.
I think, yeah.
I think you can. But significantly, like, Bob Sutton's like twice as old as Rex Ryan. Well, actually, that's not true. How old do you think Bob Sutton is?
I mean, he's 67. In his 60s. I don't know if he's 67. I called him a senior citizen. What's the
65, I think.
The threshold for 65 is when you get your discount?
Dirk just settled on 67 and a half. Bob Sutton is 67 and a half.
What's up?
He was born in January 1951. He's like literally 67 and a half.
You thought that was a guess?
I did. I didn't think you had Bob Sutton's half birthday on your Google calendar.
Oh, yeah.
Beards, go. Also, a lot of beards in the studio today. That's beards, but there are other beards, and it's distracted. Beards.
Anyway, this is gotquestions.org.
Sure.
There's a big long paragraph here, but basically it just says they were most likely between the ages of 13 and 30, therefore younger.
All right, there you go. So you go. Can you be a disciple of a younger person? We can continue to ask that question for eternity. I've forgotten where that conversation was, and that's okay, because I've taken another break, and that we can have time to like talk again in the last segment of the show. This has gone by really fast. You guys should have just come in at 4. You should have just sat down. You should have just plopped in and just told me that you were the captain now. I could have taken a day off. It would have been fine. Yeah. Honestly,
I mean, we'll use your studio. We'll be happy to.
I'm looking at my Twitter every once in a while, and I'm afraid that that's the future. I'm afraid that 4 to 6 p.m. every weekday is about to just... we're going to lose the almost entirely, completely. It's just entirely amateur hour. And I don't know how I feel about that. I was going to ask if I still get paid, but I know the answer to that question. That's not helpful.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I'm not a big fan of country music, but I think I could write a country music song called The Chiefs Hate It When I'm Happy. That feels like something that would work just fine.
Yeah. Garth Brooks, of course.
Twang, 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 twang.
With Joshua Briscoe.
She broke my heart once again. I should have known she would trade another man. Oh, I don't want to get too savvy. With my heart on my sleeve, the Chiefs hate it when I'm happy. Twang, 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 twang.
On ESPN Kansas City.
How many liners do we have where I'm singing about the Chiefs?
I think it's just those two.
Okay, well, we got them both out there today. It's very exciting.
When's the album drop?
Soon. I'm working on the EP right now. SoundCloud exclusive, world premiere.
We have one amateur hour singing performance, but it was a little bit more like beat poetry. Can you think? You may not have been like a long time.
I don't know what you're talking about now.
The only song in the history of Amateur Hour is Dirk's Ode to Sean McGrath, which has since been rescinded because he like said that he didn't want to play football anymore. And now then, he's played for like two other teams in the AFC West and the Colts.
He crossed me.
Wow. I'm sorry that you had to experience that kind of hurt. To be spurned by Sean McGrath that way.
I was thinking about this like the entire last segment. Like, we got to hear you sing Mahomes on the Range, and I'm like, man, like God, we could have really done some good with song lyrics.
Yeah, I had a drum and everything. You need an instrument in here.
We do. I would love to just have like a djembe or like a nice set of bongos. That's an extremely
we
good
would
idea.
Get shushed so hard.
We would get shushed. We would absolutely get shushed.
By the other serious radio programs inside of this building? Is that
the only serious radio program? Yes. Yeah. Correct. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And like also totally reasonable. Totally reasonable that we could be mid bongo interlude and get shushed. Like I would accept that. Like that would not be an unjust shushing. We would have deserved it, I think.
But it's a radio station. I know it's talk radio. I know it's
right.
But
it's a good point.
I mean, the radio makes music, right?
Like, yeah, of course. You know? I think that's a good. All right, Beards. Next time anyone shushes us, you say what Ryan just said, but like more aggressively, loudly, and trying to hold your ground. Also, if you get fired, I might have one
I'll
of you guys.
I'll pack my bags right before I say that.
Right. We may need to reevaluate our lineup, our own roster here personally, because we'll never see or hear from Beards again. I remembered after we went to break that we were talking about Bob Sutton and then also the corner group. And Dirk, you seem not as worried. I guess both of you seem like this, but Dirk was saying it during commercial break. You seem not as worried about the third cornerback spot because it's the third cornerback spot.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's only going to be on the field probably 50% of the snaps or so, and I don't know how many NFL teams out there have three good corners. And you kind of came back with, is Steven Nelson a good corner? Which I guess we don't know. It's a different question and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But
also, this team had three good corners on the roster for like just for a moment, and I know that...
Did we get rid of someone?
Who was the third one?
I'm letting it be Steven Nelson.
Okay.
I'm letting Steven Nelson be the third good corner that was on this team for a minute.
We were talking about the turnover on the defense last night and decided that Steven Nelson is a returning starter.
Yeah, that's technically true, I guess.
I mean, he was the starter at the beginning of the year. He got hurt, obviously. I think we came up with that he started 7 games last year.
Yeah, that feels right. I think it was, I was going to say like about half or slightly less than.
I mean,
I like playing that game with the guys who started the Titans game, because then the turnover is like unfathomable.
Right. I mean, here's the biggest problem with the corner position for me. It might be the only position on the team where we got worse this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
The only other one that you might make an argument, I think, would be safety, because you're going from Ron Parker to I don't really know what, but you also technically get Eric Berry back.
Right.
So, I mean, generally speaking, I think that corner is the only position on the team that we got worse.
Yeah.
Maybe D-line.
Perhaps.
They signed Xavier Williams and then drafted Nadi. I feel better than the middle, at least.
It's about the same. About a push.
Yeah, it feels like about
a push.
We
were excited about Benny Logan going into the year.
Well, no, I mean, that's fair. No, there will be guys like, wow, can you believe how excited we were about Doriano Daniel? He can't stay on the field. Like, yeah, one of those guys will do that.
Isn't the summer great?
Awesome. It's very strange. I still don't quite understand. Maybe it was just a cost-cutting maneuver, but, I mean, they're like shaving pennies off the dollar. But when they cut Raheem Nunez-Roches, I was like, why?
Yeah, it was strange.
Like, what does that – how does your team benefit from that?
It was kind of on the heels of Veach talking about how he didn't like the attitude of the defense in that in that playoff game too. It was almost like he saw him as part of the problem, which
and
I haven't
did.
Seen personally,
right.
But I will never go back and rewatch that game, so I don't even remember what happened in that game, honestly.
I feel like there have been more than one articles written on Chiefs.com about how infectious Raheem Nunez-Roches' personality
right.
and like on-field demeanor is.
I can't believe Chiefs.com would lie to us like that.
I mean,
they should talk about how poor his attitude is. Write an article about that.
I guess that's true.
If they would have known that the move was coming, like there should have been muckraking pieces on Marcus Peters on Chiefs.com for the last like 2 years. That would have really softened the blow eventually, I think.
They should go back and backlog them.
They should
write it. Like, look at all these problems he had.
Have we checked to make sure they didn't do that? Because that seems plausible. Not to say that BJ Kissel's going to go back and give us a false record, but. Can we trust BJ Kissel? He's paid by the Chiefs. He's a Chiefs employee.
He wouldn't do that. He's a saint.
He seems like a saint. Is there something I don't know about BJ Kissel? Is he actually not a saint?
I'm sure there's a lot we don't know about him.
That's probably
he
true.
He seems like Tiger Woods. Like he's got those skeletons in his closet. Hey BJ,
do we know what kind of?
I would not disparage him.
BJ's great.
I think he's a good guy.
Now it sounds insincere, though. Now it sounds like we're all being insincere. And I'm not, at least. Both are. I think
shots
he's great.
Shots fired at BJ Kissel on Josh Briscoe's show.
I am admittedly very jealous.
Not knowing the name of the show, by the way, is very 8-10 of you. So that's pretty good.
This is my audition, right?
that's how first we get into the studio, then we don't leave.
That's fine.
That was the plan.
Yeah, can we chain ourselves somewhere?
Yeah, most of us actually. Beards has an ankle bracelet on right now, and if he tries to leave the building, he gets electrocuted to death.
I mean, who has the 6 o'clock hour? It's us, right?
I mean, that would be a good use of our time.
Yeah, awesome. I ain't leaving.
If I can make a decision,
chain me to this seat.
Also, really quickly, there's supposed to be a College World Series after us. Rain delay. It's not starting until like 7:30 or something now. 7-ish. So yeah.
You guys want to just do an hour?
Some more entirely amateur hours.
I got an email from someone who worked in the building this week that called this show Not Entirely Sports, which is not the name of the show. And so just calling it Josh Briscoe's show really made me very happy. All right, we got to get out of here.
Well, you should be lucky I remembered your name. I was fumbling that around.
That was also
it was
great.
John, Jimmy.
Had a great time with Cody Tapp here today.
With
Slappy. Ryan Scott Hall, His Darkness, thank you very, very much for taking the time. Hopefully we'll do this again sometime soon. Listen to the Amateur Hour Podcast. Quick, you have 10 seconds to plug yourself.
What's up, ladies?
Amateur Hour. we talk about the Chiefs.
Bye, Mom!
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.